We're going to do Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We are holding out the Mishnah already on Tes Zayin Amud Beis, and we're talking about some of the unusual hanhagos of Rabban Gamliel. We already said in the last Mishnah that one thing he did unusual was that on the night of his wedding, he said Kriya Shema, and his Talmidim called him out on that. They said, Rabbi, you're the one that taught us. You're not supposed to do that. And he said, What do you mean? I can't be Mevatel Malch Shemaim even one night. Unclear what kind of answer that is. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Another unusual thing he did, Rachatz Laila Rishon Shemesa Ishto. He bathed the first night after his wife died. Amrulo Talmidav. So his Talmidav said, the Matan Rabbeinu Shavel Asolirichutz. You told us that an Avil is not allowed to bathe. That's the halacha, that an Avil is not allowed to bathe. Amrulam Enik Sharbane Adam, Istinis Ani. Says, I'm not like a regular person. I'm an Istinis. I'm a highly sensitive person. And as a highly sensitive person, I'm allowed to bathe. Which, of course, begs the question. Just because you're a highly sensitive person, you're allowed to violate Isurim, you're allowed to violate Averos. Give me an Avera in the Torah. Name any Avera. Any Avera. What? Basa b'chala. Cheeseburgers. So I really like food. I'm a foodie. So now you're going to tell me I have to be allowed to eat cheeseburgers because I'm a foodie. So what? Because he likes bathing because he's an Isra, so he's allowed to do an Isra in the Torah. So the Gemara is first of all going to explain that it's only an Isra Drabanan. And the Rabbanan didn't make the gzera b'chi agav. They didn't make a gzera for the yistimus. So that's aleph. But Tosus seems to add a little bit of color to that. Tosus adds a little bit more detail. Tosus in Dibra Maskul Yistimus, and he points out v'katzar im lo hayarochets. It's not just that not bathing means he would have deprived himself of the joy and pleasure of a bath, but it actually would have caused him tsar not to be rochets. The whole idea of not bathing when one is an avel is that one is not supposed to enjoy pleasure, tanug. That's what the isur is. But there's no isur of a ruchitza she'ena shel tanug. If someone is bathing not for the sake of tanug, there's no isur. For example, what's the kind of bathing that's not for tanug that everyone holds as 100% mutar on Tisha B'Av?
Up to the knuckles
for ruach ra or for tumah, right? Or, for example, if you get dirty, you're allowed to, if you get mud on your arm, let's say, you're allowed to wash off your arm from, because that's not tanug, that's just to clean off whatever person has. There are those that argue, I once saw such a thing, I think they said B'Shem Ragechav, that he would learn when he was in Shiva. I think Rav Zevin writes that in Nishim Peshitos, that the Ragechav would learn Torah when he was in Shiva. And they said, but Rebbe, Rabbeinu, that you're not allowed in the Torah. So no, the Yisra of Talmud Torah is an Yisra of Simcha. For me, it's not just an Indian that I feel simcha when I learn. When I don't learn, it's mamish painful for me. And they were not gozer tsar. They weren't gozer that a person should have tsar. They were just gozer a person shouldn't have simcha. A similar idea. Ukshame, much more questionable application, but a similar idea. Ukshame's Tevi Avda, when Rabban Gamliel's servant Tevi died, kibul alav tanchumin. He was mekabel tanchumin. He allowed people to come be menachim him. Amrulo Talmidav, l'matan Rabbeinu shen mekabel tanchumin al avadim. You taught us that you don't receive nechama for avadim. Amrulaham, he said, oh, you don't know my servant Tevi. Ein Tevi Avdi kashar kol avadim kasher haya. He's not like other avadim. He is kasher. Where else in Shas do we know anything about Tevi Avdi shel Rabban Gamliel that he was such a good guy? In the sukkah, good. He slept under the bed in the sukkah. What does that tell us about? Well, that was Rabbi Elazar, Brachas Mem Zayin and Gittin, right? You have freeing, was it Rabbi Gamliel freeing Tavi also? It could be, yeah, that to be Mashlim a minion. So why would you need him for the minion? The whole discussion we showed him about what he needed him for, right? Because when do you ever need a minion on a Daraisa level? Yeah, good. Even though it's a Mr. Daraisa to free him of it. But over here, this is Tavi.
Maybe he knocked out a tooth.
No, Tevi must have not been freed, Tevi, because he died as an Eved, obviously. Right?
That's what it seems.
Yeah, so, what happened when Tevi was sleeping in the sukkah? What was the deal? What was so special about that?
He shows he wanted to do the mitzvah, but he made sure he didn't do the actual mitzvah.
He slept under the bed, so he showed that he knew the halacha. He knew that under the bed is not the mitzvah, and he knew that an Eved is patur from sukkah. So like he demonstrated two halachos in one move. By staying in the sukkah, being under the bed, he demonstrated both halachos. Chassan, imrotz likros kriya shma laila rishon kore. If a chassan wants to volunteer to say kriya shma on the first night of his wedding, he can. Rishon Gamliel omer, lo kala rotz litros shemi tal. Rishon Gamliel says, no, not anyone can just volunteer to do that. So main point number one, the Mishnah says Rishon Gamliel had two other unusual hanagos. Two unusual things Rabban Gamliel did. He bathed the night his wife died, and he received nechama for the death of his kosher Eved Tevi. And then the second main point in the Mishnah, machlokas, whether a chassan is allowed to volunteer Kriya Shema, to volunteer to read Kriya Shema. Says the Gemara, my taima, the Rabbi Gamliel, what's the reason that Rabbi Gamliel bathed on the night his wife died? After all, it's an isser to bathe when one is an avel. Kasavra aninus laila d'rabbanan. T'chsiv v'achrisa kiyom mar. He assumed that aninus at night is only a din d'rabbanan, it's not a din d'araisa. Pasuk says v'achrisa kiyom mar, which we assume means that the following night doesn't follow the day, it's only that day that's d'araisa. Upamachem istinus lo gozer b'rabbanan. And the rabbanan were not gozer when you're dealing with an istinus, when you're dealing with someone who is so highly sensitive. Ukshemes tevi avdo, the Mishnah said when his eved tevi died, he received tanchumin. Tan rabbanan, avadim shvachos ein omdim aleihem b'shura. One thing about avadim shvachos is you don't stand b'shura for them. What does it mean you don't stand b'shura? What is a shura? So Rashi says, k'shachozer mibes hakvaros hayosim shuro sav va'avel u'menachem mimoso. That when they would return from the cemetery, from the grave, people would make rows, they'd stand in line, and the avel would walk by, and they would be menachem him. And Rashi says, by the way, you need a minion for that. So do we still do that? Yes. At the end of every funeral, after they finish the kvura, people line up, the avelim take off their shoes, they walk through the line, and everyone says together, Amakom Yinachem, together to the avel. Rav Salvechik pointed out that it's very interesting. All these people that are at the funeral, some of their pretty close friends, if they're already at the cemetery, at the funeral, probably they'll be at the Shiva house at some time that week. No? So why do they have to do Nichem Avelim now? They're gonna go to pay a Shiva call properly. They're just trying to get it out of the way now so they don't have to go to the Shiva house? Probably not. What's this all about? And why do you need 10 people to do this? For Nichem Avelim, you show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything's quiet. You're the only person at a Shiva house. You don't do Nichem Avelim? Because there's no minion? Of course you do Nichem Avelim even without a minion. So what's going on over here? So Salvechik pointed out that there are two mitzvos of Nichem Avelim. There's what we call the Chovas HaYachid and the Chovas HaTzibur. Very often there are mitzvos that have two elements to it. There's each individual's personal obligation, and then there's a community's obligation. For example, every father has a mitzvah to teach a son Torah. Yet they made a din d'rabbanan that b'chol ir v'ir b'chol pelech u'pelech. The Gemara in the second part of Babas says you have to have melam de tinokos. You have to have people teaching Torah. Whose responsibility is that? Every father is responsible to teach the Torah. What kind of responsibility? That's a community's responsibility to make sure that they're being malami Torah. So sometimes you have an individual, you have bet tzedakah also. Everybody's got to give tzedakah. But a community has a responsibility to have an infrastructure for tzedakah, that people should know where to go when they need a meal, that they're supposed to be communal funds. So that's a communal responsibility. So here also, communal responsibility of Nichem Avelim. Anyway, so Veinor Malim Birch Sevelim Tanchum Avelim. And we also don't do Nichem Avelim when an Eved dies. Maisa Umesa Shivchaso Shal Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's Shivcha died. Nichnusu Talmid of Lenachmo, and his Talmidim went to be Menachim him. Kivin Sharosam, he saw them coming. Alola Aliyah. He goes up to the top floor to sort of avoid them. Valu Achrav, they follow right after him. Nichnasa and Pilion, he went to the porch by his house. Nichnas Rachrav, they follow right after him. Nichnasa Trachlin, he goes into the main house. Nichnas Rachrav, they follow right after him. Wherever he goes, they're following him. Amar Lahem, he says to them, you know, at a certain point, they're not getting the hint. He's going to have to say it straight out. Kimaduma Anishatim Nichvin Beposhim. I thought I could scald you with lukewarm water. Apparently you're not even going to be scalded with boiling hot water. Meaning I tried to drop subtle hints that I do not want to talk to you right now, that I'm not interested in your nechama, because you don't take nechama when an eved dies. So I keep trying to avoid you, but all you keep doing is you keep following me. Didn't I already teach you Avadim ushvachos enom demaleim b'shura, that you don't do a shura for an eved or a shivcha that dies? Enom maleim birchas avelim, you don't say the birchas avelim, v'lo tanchumei avelim, nor do you do nichma avelim. So you should not be following me, you should not be trying to offer me nechama. This is just one example we find throughout Shas, that these very great people had talmidim who wanted to follow them wherever, whenever, regardless of how the Rebbe felt about it. You have the Gemara tells us about the Amora that was with his wife in bed at night, and all of a sudden the way he's talking to his wife seemed not Rosh Yeshiva like for the and there was a Talmud hiding under his bed, and all of a sudden Rebbe hears the Talmud say, "Hey Rebbe, why are you talking like a truck driver? You know what's going on?" And the Rebbe says, "Well, what the heck are you doing under my bed?" It's Torah Yevulnolonitzarech. It's Torah I need to learn. So you find that they would follow Rebbeim to learn from them all the time. The Gemara Baba Kama says that Rabbi Yochanan, they used to ask him questions constantly. I remember this by Rabbi Yashiv. You know, when Rabbi Yashiv would daven, he would walk down the steps from where his minion was, and they'd have like a golf cart that would pick him up to bring him home. So he would walk literally like it was like 20 steps. The entire time he was walking, people are shouting shaylas at him. And he was like, "Mutter, asur, da, da, da." Like as they're shouting, it was like unbelievable. Rabbi Yochanan had this experience. The Gemara says people would just shout shaylas at him the whole time, and he was answering shaylas. He went into the bathroom, and they're screaming in the bathroom, shaylas at him in the bathroom. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond to the shaylas while he was in the bathroom. He waited till he was finished. He washed his hands, made a bracha, put his tefillin back on. Then he continued with the shaylas. They would follow them everywhere. Apparently, that's okay for talmidim to act that way toward a rebbe. That's, you see it all over. So anyway, so he says to them, "You're not taking my hint. Stop being trying to be menachem." Me. So what are you supposed to say when an Eved dies? Elama umrim aleim kishem shom aladim al shorav al chamaru shemesu. Just like you tell a person when his ox or his donkey dies, hamokom yimali lecha chesroncha. Hashem should fill in what you're lacking. Meaning you lost money when your donkey dies. You know, this whole thing of doggy funerals and things like that. That's a modern American thing. We didn't. This is not a Jewish. You know, perspective that we treat animals like people. No, okay, so you lost money, you lost the value of the animal. So, kach omlo al abdo val shivchasa makom yimad lecha chesroncha. That's what you're supposed to say when a person's eved or shivcha dies. You say Hashem should fill in your chisaron, rather than talk about the qualities of that particular eved or shivcha. Tanya ida chavadu mushvachos ein masbid nosan. You don't give a hesped for an eved or a shivcha. Rabbi Yossi Omer im eved kosher hu. If he's an eved kosher, here's what you could say. Omer malav, you say hoy ish tov v'ne'eman v'ne'ne miyagio. Here was a good, trustworthy man who worked hard, who got enough from his hard work. That's what you say about him. So Omer lo, the Chum said back to him, im kain. If that's what you say about an eved, ma hinachta l'ksherim. What are you going to say about, you know, kosher Jews? I mean, is there a better thing to say about a person? Can you imagine a better hesped? I mean, I would have thought that there are better hesped, but the Gemara says, no, this is an unbelievable hesped. That a person is good, that a person is trustworthy, that a person is hardworking. These are the greatest qualities in the world. Main point number three, Reb Lazer didn't want to be mekabel tanchumen for his shivcha, but his students wouldn't get the hint. And really, you're only supposed to say Hamokam Yimali Chesroncha. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. In Koron Avos Al Shlosha. How many Avos are there in Judaism? You got to remember. Who knows one? Who knows two? Who knows three? Who knows three? Who knows three? Three are the Avos, right? So there are only three. Three Avos, and who knows four? Oh, good. Vein kornimos al arba. Very good. Yes, okay. Excellent. You pass. Vein kornimos al arba. You only call four people imahos. No one else. All the wonderful women in the history of the Jewish people. Only four of them are imahos. Avos my time. Why are only three avos? Why not, I don't know, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda? Why aren't they all avos? Maybe it's because you don't know if those are your avos, because that's where there was a split, meaning you're not a direct descendant of all the Shvatim. You're only a direct descendant of one of the Shvatim. You don't know if you come from Reuven or Shimon or whichever one. So Ihachi Imos Nami. Yeah, but then why do we call all four of them Imahos? It's impossible that you descend from all four of them. Why is it impossible that you descend from all four of them? If you descend from Rachel, you're not from Leah. Lo yadina ni mi Rachel, kasina mi Leah, kasina.
And you're not necessarily even from Rachel or Leah.
Right, that's true as well. Right, you may not be from either one of them. So how can you call them all imahos? No, ela ad hacha chashivi. Until that point in history, they are at the proper level of prominence to be referred to for all time as avos and imahos. Tfei lo chashivi. Beyond that, great, great people. Great people throughout the ages, but not chashiv enough to be called avos or imahos. Yeah. So you have to figure out what that means, because lo kam bi Yisrael kamosha. There was no one like Moshe Rabbeinu, but for some reason.
Moshe owed maybe another Moshe instead of.
No, but we believe that no one had the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe chashivus is different than nevuah. You have to figure that out, right? Because no one, Avram Avinu didn't have the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu either. He didn't have a spaklaria hami ira. Tanya idach, another brayso. Avadim shvachas ein korna sam abba ploni v'ima plonis. When you refer to an eved or a shivcha, you don't refer to them with the title abba or ima. Abba or ima, Rashi points out over here, is not what their children called them. It's not like we think of those terms. It was a term of kavod. It was a way to express that a person is an honorable person, like sir or lord in England, right? When they give someone that title, that is a title of kavod. That's why you'll find throughout Shas, how many people throughout Shas have more than one name? You know, my name is Aryeh Tzvi. I have two names. How many people in Shas have two names? Rabbi Meir, just Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, just Yehuda. Abaye, Rava, Yochanan, all one name. But yet you have Abba Mari, Abba Chalapta, Abba this, Abba that, Abba. What's with all the Abba? So because Abba is not a name. Abba is a title. So when we refer to Abba, it's a title. So
I think I know some people have.
Oh, so it's a name now as well, right? My brother-in-law, Avram Abba Moshe. Yeah, but nowadays people have all sorts of names. Nowadays you also have many names. Nowadays, you know, the name after the Zaydi who had three names and the other Zaydi who had two names, and you put them together, the kids got five names all of a sudden. So it's crazy. All for Shalom Bayis. Shalom Gamliel, you call him some Abba Ploni Vima Plonis. But Gamliel's Avadim would be referred to as Abba Ploni Rima Plonis. Maisa Listar says, wait, we just said you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to call Avadim Abba or Ima. Says Mishum de Chashivi. Ram Gamliel's Avadim, once again, we see, are different. They were very Chashma Avadim. They were the likes of Tavi, which were very, very special Avadim. Okay, main point number four. We have only three Avos and four Imahos, and you may not call Avadim Abba or Ima unless they're a Chashav. Omar Rabbi Lazar, Maidichsiv, what does the pasuk in Tehillim mean when it says, Kein avarechecha v'chayai b'shimcha esa chapai? So the Gemara says, take each part of the pasuk. Kein avarechecha b'chayai zu kriyashma. That's a reference to someone who says kriyashma. B'shimcha esa chapai zu tefila. That's a reference to tefila. V'im osa kein, if a person does both of those things, kriyashma and tefila, that's where the pasuk says, like chelev and deshen tispa nafshi, that he's satiated, his soul is satiated with all the good things. Below od, he's going to inherit two worlds. Which two? Ha'olam hazeh, ha'olam haba. This world and the next world. Shenemar, as the pasuk goes on to say, same pasuk, v'sifsai renonos yahalil pi. So main point number five, say Kriya Shema and Tvila and you get two worlds. Good deal. Now, from here until like 20 lines into the next Amud, we're going to have different, the way different Amoraim concluded their Tvila. After 18 brachos, you know, you say a little paragraph at the end, where you have like a little supplication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after all the brachos are over. So they didn't all have Elokai Nitzol Lashoni Meiras Vasayim Tavir. They had different things. So we're going to see, today we'll see six or seven of them, and then tomorrow we'll do the rest of them. Some of them may sound familiar from other parts of davening.
I don't think
thank you for telling me. I did not know that. That's an important thing to know.
The last period is third to last period. You have one
class
but not the other.
Oh, that's okay. Maybe we'll do a Chazara period then for that class. Let's figure it out. All right.
Maybe you just don't have to come.
Right. We'll figure it out. Okay. I like to keep both classes even. So let's see. Some of these tefillos may seem familiar. Some of them will not seem so familiar. Rav Elazar Basar and Masayim Susi Amar Hachi. Let's number them. How many there are? I didn't write numbers in my Gemara yet. So
as we go along.
Yeah, as we go along. Rav Elazar, after he finishes tefillah, he would say the following. Yehi ratzon lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetishkan bepureinu ava v'yachva v'shalom v'reyus v'tir b'gvulenu b'talmidim v'tatzliach sofeinu achris v'tikva v'tikva v'tasum chalkeinu b'gan Eden v'tikdenu b'chaver tov v'yetzer tov b'olamcha v'nashkim v'nimtza yachlu v'aveinu liyira shemecha v'tavu lefanecha koras nafshenu letova. we should have lots and lots of really great things. What's he asking for? Peace, a lot of talmidim, a good future, good chevra. We should have Yerushalayim, a lot of good things on all different levels that we're asking for. Rabbi Yochanan basad himasayim tzulusei. Here's number two. When Rabbi Yochanan finishes tefillah, he would say, Amar hachi. A little more negative. You should see our humiliation and look at our evil. And you should clothe yourself in your mercy. And you should cover yourself with strength. And wrap yourself in your chasidus. And gird yourself with chayin. And it should come in front of you the midah of tov and humility. Rabbi Zeira basin himsaim susi amarachi. Third one. Rabbi Zeira would conclude his tefillos with the following. That's it. That we shouldn't sin and we shouldn't be embarrassed from our forefathers. Rabbi Chia basin himsaim amarachi. Fourth one. Yiratzam levnecha Hashem Elokeinu shetei sorascha umnasenu. That Torah should be our main occupation. Val yidveli benu, val yechshchu enenu. Rav basar tzlusei, fifth one. Amar hachi, yiras amavnach Hashem alkeinu shititein lanu. Chayim aruchim, chayim shal shalom, chayim shal tov, chayim shal brach, chayim shal paratz, chayim shal chilitz tzomis, chayim shal shvem yiras chayit, chayim shayin bambu shal chuyima, chayim shal osher vachov, chayim shtei bono avsav yir shamayim, chayim shetemalu lanu eskol mashal sabenu tova. Sound familiar? Good. What's the one discrepancy?
Yiras Chayit.
We ask for Yiras Shemayim twice. Over here, they only ask for Yiras Shemayim once. Right? So there are many, many different Torah given about why we ask for Yiras Shemayim twice in that same thing. From the Gemara, it sounds like typo. Right? It sounds like. But there are the answers. There are a lot of very nice answers, so we'd rather not say it's a typo. Rebbe Basar Tzlusei Amar Hachi. Sixth one? Rebbe after Yidav said the following. Yiras Amunach Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avaseinu. Shetatzilenu me'azei panu, me'azos panu, me'odem ra, me'pega ra, me'yetza ra, me'chaver ra, me'shachin ra, u'misotan ha'mashchus, u'midin kasha, u'mibaldin kasha, bein shu ben bris, bein sheinu ben bris. And he would say all this about being saved from these bad people, whether they be Jews or non-Jews, even though there were non-Jewish officers all around him at all times. So it's kind of risky for him to offer that kind of tefillah. Let's do one more. Number seven. Rav Safra Basar Tzlusei Amarachi. He would say the following. Yiratzom levnach Hashem Elokeinu shetasim shalom bepamalia shalmala ubepamalia shalmata. That there should be peace up on high and down here. Ubein ha-talmidim oskin b'Torah secha and amongst the talmidim learn Torah. Bein oskin l'shma, bein oskin shalol l'shma. Whether they learn l'shma or shalol l'shma. But v'kala oskin shalol l'shma, yiratzom she oskin l'shma. Anyone who learns shalol l'shma, it should be your will that they should learn the Shema. It's not just it should be your will. We know the Gemara in Pesachim tells us in Daf Nun Amud that lo limi lamir ad tor mitzvah be shelo l'shma, shemitoch shelo l'shma, bal l'shma. So it's a natural occurrence that a person learns shelo l'shma. Ultimately, he finds the geshmak and he learns l'shma. He learns l'shem, the Torah itself. So the last main point over here is different compositions of tefillos at the end of Shemoneh Esrei.